Bhagavate Vasudevaya. This morning we're reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 2, Chapter 5, Text 34. Varshapuga sahasante tadandam udake sayam kala karma svabhavasto jivo jivam majivaya. Vashapuga, many years, sahasrante, of thousands of years, tat, that, andam, the universal globe, udake, in the causal water, sayam, being drowned. Kala, eternal time. Karma, action. Svabhavasta, according to the modes of nature. Jiva, the Lord of the living beings. Ajivam, non-animated. Ajivaya, caused to be animated. Translation. Thus all the universes remain thousands of eons within the water, the causal ocean, and the Lord of living beings entering in each of them caused them to be fully animated. Translation, please repeat. Thus all the universes remain thousands of eons within the water. The causal ocean, and the Lord of all living beings, entering in each of them, cause them to be fully animated. Purport. The Lord is described here as the Jiva because he is the leader of all other Jivas, living entities. In the Vedas, he is described as the Nitya, the leader of all other Nityas. The Lord's relation with the living entities is like that of the father with the sons. The sons and the father are qualitatively equal, but the father is never the son, nor is the son ever the father who begets. So as described above, the Lord as the Gabhadakshaya Vishnu or Hiranyagarbha Supersoul enters into each and every universe, causes it to be animated by begetting the living entities within the womb of the material nature, as confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita 14.3. After each annihilation of the material creation, all the living entities are merged within the body of the Lord, and after creation, they are again impregnated within the material energy. In the material existence, therefore, material energy is seemingly the mother of the living entities, and the Lord is the father. When, however, the animation takes place, the living entities revive their own natural activities under the spell of time and energy. And thus the varieties of living beings are manifested. The Lord, therefore, is ultimately the cause of all animation in the material world. Vashapuga sahasrante tat andam udake sayam kala karma svabhavasto jivo jivam ajivayat. Thus all the universes remain thousands of eons within the water, the causal ocean, and the Lord of living beings entering in each of them caused them to be fully animated. So as the chapter is entitled, The Cause of All Causes. And some general description is given here on the sequence of events, generally actually in all the Puranas. This explanation is given right in the beginning. Here we have the Srimad Bhagavatam or the Bhagavat Purana, but when you read the other Puranas also, the same general sequence of explanation, first of all how there was the Supreme Lord and then he expanded himself, and so on, and then how he entered into the created the universes and entered into each universe and impregnated the universes with the living entities. So this description is quite a common theme amongst the Shastras, and further explained a little bit more by Lord Brahma in his Brahma Samhita. So a little bit philosophical, technical information. But for we devotees, we try to understand these things because in the modern education, a different type of explanation is given how everything came about. Of course, in the religions of the world, they say everything came about from God. But exactly how it came about, the Christians have their idea, the Muslims have their idea, and so on. In the Vedas, there's good description, and other works, Puranas, and other works also. So, and nicely explained by Srila Prabhupada in his previous purport, that because of our desires to be separated from Krishna, to enjoy separately from Krishna, there is the Paravyoma, the spiritual realm. And Prabhupada actually explained, just like in the corner of the spiritual sky of Brahma Jyoti, there is a spiritual cloud sometimes appears. That's very nice. Just like in the sky sometimes you see just open sky. But in one corner there's some cloud. There's a good description of it. Sometimes there is a cloud. And it is that cloud that the activities of the conditioned souls go on in that cloud. Just a corner over there on the side. There's the vast sky and the cloud. Because the vast sky, that Paramyoma, or the Brahma Jyoti, within, of course, there is the Vaikuntha and all the different, not exactly like open sky, but there's all the different Vaikuntha lokas, and there's the Lord is existing with so many living entities there, devotees, and then there's the Krishna loka. But in one corner over the side, there's a cloud. And sometimes the cloud appears. Sometimes. So the living entities, they want to enjoy separately. So Krishna has to make an arrangement, because how they can enjoy separately, everyone is part and parcel of Krishna. There's no place you can go where you can be separated from Krishna. Krishna is everything. So it's a kind of a very illusory kind of mentality by the living entity. Even when there is the cloud created, there can be no separation from Krishna. But Krishna is so expert that he makes a situation where we think we are separated. Understand? We think we are separated. Just like there's the spiritual sky full of so many Vaikuntha lokas, a Krishna loka, the topmost position. Then the cloud is there. That's all within the energy of the Supreme Lord. The cloud is just like the Brahma Jyoti is there, the Vaikuntha loka is there. The cloud is also coming from Krishna. It is also within the total existence. So there's never a time when we're actually ever separated from Krishna. Although, as I said, Krishna is so expert, he makes it seem that we're separated. As far as we're concerned, as far as he's concerned, we're never separated. Krishna is all-knowing. He knows everything. As far as he's concerned, we're never separated from him. But as far as we are concerned, we're separated. Just like the sun is in the sky, sometimes there's cloud. So we may not be able to see the sun, but the sun is always there. Foolishly, if we have cloud for continuously, we may think after a long time that actually there's no sun. Some countries, they have cloud cover for many months of the year. Sometimes dark, the North Pole or something like that. You go to some countries, 6 months just dark. And so someone may think, just imagine if you had cloud continuously. It's like today is cloud cover. So just imagine every day So someone might think, I remember reading some time ago, about 10 years ago, there was a severe drought in Australia, and there was no rain for a long time, especially in the outback, in the deserty part. There was no rain. For years, they had no rain. And so years and years it was going on, 5 years, 10 years, no rain there. So in one family, that family had some children, and the children were growing up 5, 6, 7 years. They didn't know what is the rain. Imagine if someone, they didn't have the rain for 10 years, the little boy and the girl, they're only 7, 8 years old, they never saw the rain. So they think there's no rain. What is rain? Doesn't exist. They never saw it. So we've been in the world for so long, conditioned, we may think that there is no supreme personality of Godhead. We are just existing and engaging in so many activities, separate from the supreme law. But they can never be separate. It's just our tiny thinking. But Krishna is always knowing, and here Prabhupada says, the Lord is described as Jiva because he is the leader of all other Jivas, Jivatma, all other souls. He is the leader of all other, and Nitya means eternal. What is that? Ekobohinam yovidita. Nitya nityanas chaitanam chaitanam ekobohinam yovidita kaman. There are many eternals. We are eternal also. But Krishna is the supreme eternal. He is the leader. In the Vedas, he is described as the Nitya, the leader of all other Nityas. The difference between him and us is that he is always knowing, and we are forgetting. That's our position. We are forgetting everything. Just like the child, 6, 7 years, 8 years old, never saw the rain. Oh, there's no rain. What is the rain? Or someone who lives in a country who just cloud all the time, cloud, no sun. But everyone knows there's sun. Everyone knows there's rain. There's water. Just because you didn't see doesn't mean it doesn't exist. So this is a very important verses. Vashapuga sahasrante. So the cloud is there, and this cloud, of course, this covered portion is called the Mahatattva, as Prabhupada explained very nicely in his previous purport. And so that is created by the energy of the Supreme Personality of God. It isn't just the one corner. So then the Lord expands himself and enters into there. Krishna, can do so many things very wonderfully. He's enjoying in the Krishna Loka with very intimate pastimes. he is in the Dwarka. He's enjoying Mathura, Dwarka, and they're all in the Krishna Loka. And he is in the Vaikuntha. And he expands himself and he enters into the Mahatattva, the spirit, as he described, is the spiritual cloud. There's the spiritual cloud. Can never be material, but there's a spiritual cloud. So he enters this Mahatattva. And he is that, who is that that enters that expansion? What is the name? Mahavishnu. Mahavishnu. And within there, the Karanajal. From him comes a great water that he is lying on the Karanajal. The great Mahavishnu. He is gigantic. We can't even conceive how big is that Mahavishnu. Sometimes we see the painting of the Mahavishnu on the Ishopanishad cover or something like that. He is just like small size. But actually he is a very gigantic personality. Unbelievably gigantic. Even our Lord Brahma, it is said, within this universe is gigantic form. There's one description in one Purana that even the swan carrier of Lord Brahma, His foot would cover the earth. His foot of the swan would cover the whole earth. When Lord Brahma, he goes to different places, he can change his size accordingly. And the swan also. So when he sometimes, you read the description like that, and the Lord Brahma comes to see someone doing the tapasya or something like that. and he blesses him and he reduces his size accordingly. He has power like that. But normally, if it was just normally, the foot of the swan would cover the whole earth. This is our Lord Brahma. He is so big, our Lord Brahma, in one universe. What to speak of? Now, within our universe is also the Garbhadakshaya Vishnu lying down. He's gigantic. Sometimes, especially in the South India, you see these temples with the lying down Lord Vishnu on the Anantasesha. Very nice temples. And you go there, three doors like that. And you go each door, you see. And very big, maybe whole wall like that, long. They have the three doors. So Lord Garbhadakshaya Vishnu, Hiranyagarbha, he is entering into the universe. And so generally you see like that when you go to these temples. You go to the one, you start with the lotus feet of the Lord. There are so many, they offer prayers. And then in the middle one, you see the lotus flower with Lord Brahma on the top. And then you go to the head of the Lord, and there is the personified Vedas offering the prayers. So I've seen many like that. But the Mahavishnu, he's beyond the universes. The description is given. The universes are coming from the pores of the great Mahavishnu and coming out in his breathing. There's further description in Brahma Samhita. They're coming out, they're floating on the ocean, like in clusters, like foam. There's a nice description. Like the foam. You're just like foam. It's like when you have the bath sometimes, you have the foam on the water, and just floating. So the universes, they are floating like the foam all over the Karananjal. They come out in the breathing of the Mahavishnu from the pores. And their existence is only one breath of the Mahavishnu. Then they come back in. This is a very inconceivable concept as far as... because we can conceive of someone breathing and then exhaling and inhaling. That's not a problem. We are doing that. We are exhaling and inhaling. But our breath lasts for just a few moments. And of course, for the Mahavishnu, it's just a few moments. But for us, that is unbelievable. And it said that Lord Brahma, he lives for 311 trillion years of the earth years. 311 trillion. Then at the end of his life, then everything is wound up. It goes back to the Mahavishnu. That is the one breath. One breath, the Mahavishnu. 311 trillion of our years. And of course, other universes, they're further away. They have to come back in a little bit later. Maybe more trillions of years they're coming. They're coming. So, but the total time of the breath is very inconceivable. So as Prabhupada said, they stay only during the breathing period of the Mahavishnu. And then, each one of them is like going out like a seed and expanding as it's going out. This is the description. It's going out from the breathing, from the pores, and floating like a seed is going out and expanding. And then there's like a globe, and in that globe, all the elements are there in the globe. And then the Lord expands again from that Mahavishnu to another Vishnu who goes inside. He also lies down on Anantasesha. Sometimes you you can read the story of Krishna and Arjuna going to see the Mahavishnu. Very amazing story, isn't it? The Mahavishnu beyond the universe, and there's a good description of going through the coverings of the universe, going through all the elements, everything like that, and going beyond outside. Krishna was able to go. Of course, Krishna can go anywhere, but Arjuna was able to go to see the Mahavishnu. But anyway, the Hiranyagarbha, the Garbhadakshaya Vishnu, he's lying down, and it is that Vishnu from the navel of that Vishnu, the lotus stem, and the flower comes, and then Lord Brahma comes, and then so there are different stages of creation. All the universes remain thousands of eons within the water. the causal ocean, and then the Lord enters each of them and causes them to be animated. Before elements, the material substance is there. So actually, the whole sequence is only possible by the will and the activity and energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So as devotees, we always have to try to understand that and keep that in our mind, that even though everything may seem so fantastic and it just automatically going on, it's not just automatically going on. There's purposeful arrangement. So actually, Prabhupada quotes from this Bhagavad Gita 14.3, Mama Joni Mahad Brahma Tasmad Dharmam Dadam Yaham Sambhava Sarva Bhutanam Tato Bhavati Bharata. The total material substance called Brahman is the source of birth, and it is that Brahman that I impregnate, making possible the births of all the living beings, O son of Bharata. This is Krishna speaking to Arjuna. So Prabhupada explains here the Brahman or the effulgence, also the Brahman can be is also understood to be the Mahatattva. The Mahatattva. The total material substance, the Mahatattva or the Brahman. And here Prabhupada explains very nicely again. The Supreme Personality of Godhead impregnates that total substance, and thus innumerable universes become possible. This total material substance, the Mahatattva, is described as Brahman, as the Vedic literature. So sometimes Brahman is described like that, as the Mahatattva. Tasmati tad brahma nama rupam manam najayate. And he enters into each universe and impregnates the living entities through the lotus stem into the form of the Lord Brahma. And then Lord Brahma, he is able to arrange everything, all the planetary systems, by being empowered by the Supreme Personality of God. He is a very powerful living entity, Lord Brahma. He is empowered by the Supreme Personality of God. Now, Prabhupada says here that now we should understand that it is not just material nature that is causing everything. Of course, material nature is the background, but behind even that background is the presence of the Supreme Personality of God. It's just like, and he gives a nice example. The scorpion lays its eggs in piles of rice. And sometimes it is said that the scorpion is born out of rice. But the rice is not the cause of the scorpion. Actually, the eggs were laid by the mother. Similarly, material nature is not the cause of the birth of the living entities. The seed is given by the Supreme Personality of God, and they only seem to come out as products of material nature. So the seed is given by the Supreme. So, you know, today we have much proselytization of theory of how the material nature and some regard the matter, material energy, as supreme and the cause of everything, somehow or other, by a combination in different way, life came into existence in that way. So certainly there's interaction of elements, and because of the interaction of elements, certain arrangements come into being by the interaction of the elements and different activities as far as material energy is concerned. But originally, beyond all that, is the hand of the Supreme Personality of God. And this is something that is explained very nicely in the Shastras. He is the hand, he is the, just like the you know, he impregnates. It is not the rice is not the cause of the eggs. Although it may seem, oh, the rice, the scorpion is born. For someone who doesn't know, scorpion is born from the rice. But no, formerly, the mother was laid the eggs, impregnated by the father. The seed is given by the Supreme Personality of God. And everything seems to come out as products of material nature. Seeming seems. So you have a modern theory like that everything is but a product of nature. Everything working sun coming up, moon, tides, oceans, different planets. Somehow or other, it came about just by interaction of material elements. And this is widely accepted, widely promoted and widely accepted with so much evidence to back it up, to support it, you see. And so many theories with evidence to support it, you see. But of course, as devotees, we do not accept. We understand that there's so many things going on due to interaction of material elements. Whether on a gigantic level or on a microscopic level, a combination of both, whether microscopic or macroscopic, so many actions are going on. But beyond all that, the cause of all causes, that's why this chapter in Srimad Bhagavatam is actually called the cause of all causes. You have so many causes that give effects, and then effects that give causes, and then causes, and so on. But the original cause, going back and back and back and back, the original cause is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Of course, someone may say, well, who is the cause of the Supreme Personality of Godhead? I remember when, before I was devotee, that was a big argument I had. Who is the cause? If God is created, then who created God? That is the meaning of God. He is not created. He is always eternally existence. That is the meaning. There it stops. He is eternally existing. There's no beginning. There's no end. Other things may seem to have beginning and end, but actually, really, there's no beginning or end to everything. It's just changing and moving in different ways. Just like the cloud is there in the spiritual sky, it's created, but actually the energy was always there. It's not that it actually was created. The energy was there. It's been transformed into a cloud now. You understand? So there's no beginning or end to anything, actually. It just seems like there's beginning and end by the arrangement of Krishna. So energy is working in different ways. So actually, in one sense, there's no beginning and end to any of us. But as far as cause, there always has to be original. Just like a candle. Many candles can be lit, but there was one original candle that lit all the other ones. That is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So as devotees, we try to understand these descriptions given. This is a very generalized description. There's more and more detailed description in various shastras. And the acharyas especially describe in great detail how all these creations, primary creations, secondary creations, and so on and so forth. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Jiva Goswami, so many acharyas give very elaborate descriptions of the goings-on of the various stages of creation. Very philosophical, very technical information. Probably most of us would find very hard reading. But nevertheless, their explanation is given. So whether one accepts or not, that's another thing. But as devotees, we accept because we accept the authority of the Supreme Personality of God. Prabhupada always explained in this way. It comes down to who you want to accept as authority. Whether you want to accept this one giving this theory or what is said in that book or the other one and so on, that you want to accept that person or those persons as authority, or whether you want to accept the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, as authority. So it's up to the individual to make a study and see what is the presentation. What is the presentation of the Vedas, of the different shastras, what is the explanation? What is their what is the understanding? And as opposed to the explanation of the so many modern day theories, of course there can be some truths in both. Of course, on the spiritual side is always absolute truth, but there's some explanation given on the material side of things. There can be some truths that are pertinent on that side that we don't reject, but. Stay on the position of just accepting material realm, material energy as the cause of everything. No, there's beyond, before that, before the existence of the material energies, there is the position of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So the living, that's the living entity, as Prabhupada says here, according to his past activities, comes into the world with in different situation, in different life, with different body, and enjoying or suffering according to their past activities. So in one life, of course, according to our activity, we go to the next life and the next life and so on. And we've had many lives. Up to the end of the day of Brahma, there's some a pralaya, where the living entities are temporarily merged into the waters of the devastation, go back into the lotus, into Lord Brahma. And again, when the creation takes place, the next day of Brahma, again Brahma impregnates. But at the end of the life of Brahma, they go back into the... everything is wound back and go back into the great Mahavishnu. And it actually is mentioned that they stay within the abdomen of the Mahavishnu, ready to be come out again for the next creation, the next primary creation. The Lord is the cause of all the manifestations of the living entities in this material world. The prophet says one thing here, and he more or less says the same thing. When, however, the animation takes place, living entities revive their own natural activities under the spell of the time and energy. As I said, there are different types of creation and annihilation, and then the different change of manus and the end of the day of Brahma. There's partials, and then at the end of the life of Brahma, total of all the material universes, all the elements are wound up again. But then again, they come out. It is mentioned in Bhagavad Gita also. Again and again this happens. And again we come out, and under the spell, we're always under the spell of this energy and the kala and the karma. It is like a spell. Although we're thinking we are independent and free to act in so many ways, really we're like under, just like if I were to put a spell on someone, do some big yajna and make some a mantra and then put the spell on you, and then supposedly you have to act just according to my spell. Whatever I say you have to do, because now you're under my spell. So similarly, the kala and the prakriti, they are casting the spell on us. You have to do exactly as dictated by the material energy and by all the functions of the material energy. We have the kala, the time, and we have the gunas, the modes. You have to act accordingly. You cannot act independently from the gunas and the kala and the karma. You must be under the sattva, raja, tamaguna. You must have the influence of kala. Who can be free from kala? Time. Can anyone be free from time? Must. So we're under the spell. Must be. People talk about shifting time and time traveling. Yeah, you're under time. Time dictates. At this time, it must be for this. This time for that. This time you were born. This time this will happen. That time that will happen. This time is the death. You won't change. This time is there. And this is the time. You can't change. Only if Krishna wants. Krishna can change. Krishna can change. But as far as we are concerned, we can't change it. We can't say time. No time. I'm not accepting. Must. The time is there. Karma must be there. Karma. Whatever the karma says, you must act like that. Of course, Krishna can change it, but as far as the conditioned souls, we can't change. Must be. This, and somebody. And your nature, that must be under the gunas. So people are dictated in this way and live their life accordingly. Thinking they are nicely free. And this is all the wonder of the Supreme Personality of God. It creates a situation where we think we are separate. There is no God, but actually God is doing everything at every moment. Even He's with you in your heart. And this is the wonder of Krishna. He is right sitting next to you in your heart, but you do not know Him. You cannot see him. He's right next to you. It's like if you were walking and someone was walking with you, but you never knew they were there. We are like that. So Krishna is so amazing personality that he can arrange everything because he's fulfilling our desires. We want to forget Krishna. We want to enjoy separately, so Krishna makes a nice arrangement. He is controlling it all. He is enabling it all. Even as far as our body, he is enabling. He goes into the body, into the atoms, enabling everything. He is right next to us, but we do not know. We are forgetful. And so this is all a desire and arrangement of this. But Krishna is wanting us to again come to our natural position. And so it is mentioned here that besides this material energy, there is another. Apariyamitastanyam prakritim vinimepanam jivabhutamaham yayinam dayate jagat. Another superior. A superior energy. Now there's a material energy, the gunas, the kala, all these things going on in the world. The superior energy is you and I, but now we are affected by the other energy of the Lord, and we're conditioned. So, but Prabhupada would always preach in that way. We have to realize our own position as superior energy, and reconnect with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and be rightfully situated in the superior position instead of the inferior position, the external energy of the Supreme Personality of God. And Krishna is waiting. He wants, but he it's up to us. Up to us. Which energy we want to be under? Material or the spiritual? Krishna wants. And Maya is acting. Maya also wants, but she is doing her service of completing the illusion that Krishna has arranged. She's doing her service. So we can have interaction with Maya like that and completely subordinate and have to get the consequences. Or Maya actually it will be very subservient to us when we become full devotees. She is very appreciative of devotees and she helps devotees. She took it just like on the disappearance of the Haridas Thakur. We were reading Haridas Thakur. He initiated Maya. Maya was initiated by Haridas Thakur. Just like your guru comes and he has initiation, initiates this one, this one. Well, one time Maya came and Haridas Thakur initiated her. The Maya who is keeping all the living entities in the illusion, she is so great. She is the energy of God. But she was so appreciating Haridas Thakur, she came to test him, but that was just, she knew everything already, but just to show some leela. And she was so overwhelmed with the power and potency of Haridas Thakur, she submitted herself and she became his disciple. And he initiated the Hare Krishna mantra. You chant this mantra. So the great devotee is Maya has great respect. She's helping them, pushing them along back to Krishna. Prabhupada would say like that sometimes. Maya is pushing you along, pricking you. Of course, you can go one side or the other side. Up to you. Which side you want to go? You want to go? You want to get pushed to Krishna, or you want to go back, try to push against Maya? She will take you back again, no problem. But then she wants to push you. So we have to understand all these things very nicely. How everything comes about, but always remember that the cause of it is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So Hare Krishna, thank you very much. I'll read this verse again. Vashapuga sahasante tarandam udakesayam kalakarma svabhavasto jivo jivam ajivayat. Thus all the universe has remained thousands of eons within the water, the causal ocean, and the Lord of all living beings entered in each of them, caused them to be fully animated. Any questions? Comments? Yes, Prabhu.
You mentioned that the living entities operate under the spell of Maya and the time. Hmm. I mean, basically, the time and Maya dictate what the living entity to do. But at the same
at the same time, what?
Karma. So, I mean, what is the fine line that differentiate that what was the dictation and what was the free will?
What is that decision that you say?
No, fine line.
Fine line between what?
The karma and the...
Oh, yeah. How you react to the karma.
Yeah.
That is the choice. That is your free will. Understand? So the karma happens on you. How you react. This is going to happen. How I react, I will just become entangled again, or I want to do something else. There's your free will. Karma must be. You've created in the past life. In so many lives. You've created so much karma, can't fit one life only. Has to be many lives. So much karma must be there. How you react... you'll get your previous karma and then you'll create the more karma. So the free will is there, the decision is there always with you, how you react. And then you react one way, that'll give karma one way, and then react the other way, it'll give karma the other way. And then when that karma comes, how you react to that, that'll give other karma. So the free will is always there. But then you can always, at some point, take up the spiritual life. And then you're under Krishna. And Krishna takes charge. He can change anything. I remember one time I was in the Trivandrum in the Padmanabhaswamy temple, and one of the devotees were taking me inside, a very beautiful place, and they took me right inside for the darshan inside. Beautiful. And but then one gentleman came. He was a friend of the devotees, and he was also an astrologer. He would do all the calculation, the charts for all the big Brahmins there who were doing the puja. He was under the Maharaja. And I was walking with him, and I was just joking. Oh, maybe you can do my chart also. He said, no. He said, for devotees, I never do the chart. Because they are under God. God can change it any time. So I can do the chart, but then they'll blame me. Well, you said like this, but this didn't... No, but Krishna changed it. So you have got the free will to change to how you... Normally, the person in the world, they get their karma, how they react. That is their freedom. How they react to this, that will give them further, of course, become more entangling. And each time they got the decision to act one way or the other way, that is their freedom. But for a devotee, they go further. They get the... And then they become devotee. And then that is their decision. And then they acting on the other level, under Krishna. And Krishna can sometimes see, he knows what the karma was from before. Just to correct them, sometimes he gives a little bit. Sometimes the devotee is not acting nicely or properly, then the Krishna gives something just to push you a little bit. But so you understand the free will then.
Our actions can be argued that it is because of the influence of the time.
Yes, but I mean, you understand that these things happen in time. Certain things are meant to happen in time. So that will happen. We've got no say. But when it happens, then you how you react, that is my point. I don't think you're getting you're not understanding the point. When something happens to you, you can do one way or the other way. That is your freedom. There's not much freedom. There's not much. But of course, we're thinking is a lot. But it's not that much. So there's the freedom of choice comes in when things happen, how you go one way, other way, the other way, like that. Yes.
In India, you can see God at every intersection.
Yeah,
people
that?
Are so close,
yeah.
The traffic and people running around.
Yeah.
So Krishna is only saving them.
Is not what?
Krishna is, Lord Krishna is only saving them. Otherwise, there will be accident at any moment.
I
came 2 days there.
Yeah.
The intersection are so busy.
Yeah.
You can't cross unless Krishna is
ready
to cross.
That's a good example.
You can see the movement of Lord.
Yeah. Yeah. Any other questions? Jai Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Gaur Premanande Hari Hari Bol.